Amen. Isn't this awesome, this Valentine's Day, when God lined up the preachers that in the morning Andy was talking about the eros, which is sexual love, and tonight we're talking about adultery on Valentine's Day. Just be honest for me for a second. How many of you have a Valentine today? Lift up your hand. A Valentine, if you have a Valentine, someone who you got a Valentine, you know, if you call someone your Valentine, you've got a Valentine. My Valentine is Becca. So if you have one, lift up your hand. Okay. Now, if you don't have one, lift up your hand. I'm just trying to help you guys. Just look around. These are those people. Well, we're going to speak about adultery. And one of the Ten Commandments is adultery. And we're just going to look at what Jesus said about adultery. So if you open your Bibles in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, this is going to be the main scripture. I'm going to look at some other scriptures as well, so don't bother to look for them and miss the point. But it says here, Matthew chapter 5, 27, You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. When we talk about adultery, we have to know the background system. So I want to start from the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, where God says that he says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So in the beginning, God created a man and a woman. He named them Adam and Eve. They weren't Madam and Eve or Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve, male and a female. So that is the only way where it works. And it was very good. That is the perfect way for a relationship to work. The other ways actually don't work. And if I would ask you, what is the strongest example of a relationship you know, what would you say? Would you say it's like your parents, or would you know someone who has a really good relationship? I would say, and I think the Bible says, that the strongest relationship or example of a relationship we know is between God itself. God, there's three. And it's probably better for us to understand God as three rather than one and different parts. So there's God the Father, there's Jesus, and there's Holy Spirit. So the relationship between those three is perfect. And I think that's a perfect example. And actually, when we look in Ecclesiastes 4:12, it says that though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. I was thinking about this verse and thought that, okay, the Bible, you know, Solomon, he was given wisdom from God. So a cord of three strings is not easily broken. So I was thinking about that example and thinking about the relationship between Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God. And I thought, actually, this is the only way that marriage is going to work as well. It's only going to work if it's between me, my future wife, and God. if this one part is missing, it is not easy, it is easily broken. But if you have those three, it's not easily broken. So that is the perfect way to have a relationship, is with your spouse and God. Because when we started our relationship, we prayed to God and said, God, you are the upkeeper of this relationship. No matter how hard we try, we are faulty. But you need the perfect puzzle fit to fit these two together. So this is the perfect way to have a relationship. And that is usually shown mostly in marriage. You can see this in marriage. And marriage is so important because that represents something. In marriage, this is the closest thing you can have with someone on earth. The closest and most intimate thing you can have with someone on earth. And all through the Bible, especially in Revelations, when you read about Jesus and how Jesus sees the church, he always refers this to marriage. This is like, I am the husband and the church is the bride. I am the husband, the church is the bride. Talking about how there was 10 virgins and how they prepared for themselves to the husband, and how Jesus is going to come back for the bride, and how Jesus kept himself pure for the bride. And I want you to know that in marriage, and what marriage is, it's, if you just think that it's something that you're going to keep yourself pure without the adultery for yourself, it's probably not going to go too well for you. But if you're keeping it pure for Jesus, and because of what it represents, the covenant, then it's easier, because God set the example. Jesus kept himself pure for us and for you. And the same way we can keep ourselves pure for Jesus. If you keep yourself pure for yourself, it's just hard work. And marriage also represents the covenant, of becoming one with someone. Like Jesus became one with you. When you accepted Jesus in your heart, when Jesus came into your life, you gave your life to Jesus, you had Holy Spirit to live inside you. God became one with you. So this is kind of the perfect way of a relationship that we can imagine. The way that the Bible talks about it, and the way it's perfect, it's between the three, and it's the covenant and for Jesus. So now the devil wants to twist everything and ruin everything. Now, you know the parable when Jesus said that there was a good sower who sowed the seeds, the good seeds. And then at night came the evil one and sowed some weeds. And they both started growing together. And the attendants came to Jesus and said, shall we, pull the weeds out? Jesus said, no, let them grow together. Because if you pull the weeds out, you will pull the good stuff out as well. I was thinking about it, and then I saw something that I believe the Holy Spirit revealed to me. And that is when you are born, you are born so innocent and beautiful, and God has put inside you these desires to be loved and to want this intimate relationship with the opposite sex, and to feel loved and to give love. But all through your life, when you grow up, there's the devil aside you that is planting those evil things inside and inside your mind, the evil thoughts, evil desires of heart. You think, where did these come from? Why am I thinking these thoughts? I remember being a boy and you had these thoughts about other women, and you thought, this is just, it's just wrong. Was I t- was I taught this by my mom and dad? No. They were just planted inside me by the world. The world is absolutely twisted, and the devil does everything that he can to destroy not yourself first, but the thing that the relationship represents, which is the pure relationship with Jesus and what Jesus did for the church. And he's trying to destroy it. And if he can destroy you and your relationship, that's how he can destroy the covenant, what represents the purity in the church. You probably know, and I don't have to like prove you, that the world is twisted. But I was, you know, just looking for what adultery means, and then I came across this website that absolutely angered myself to the core. I thought, how can this be? This is so evil. Basically, there's a website that advertises to have an affair. Come and have an affair, and we will give you an affair. You can just sign up and have an affair with anyone in the world. And I thought, how can this be? How is this even allowed? Isn't it that like against the law or something? And it advertised how many members there is. And then I was totally shocked. It said, come and join. There was only over 43 million people signed up for this website. So if you think you have signed up for this website, 43 million people, but adultery is not involved with one person, sorry, it involves two persons. So that means there's 83 million people who are broken and just destroyed relationships. It's just evil. It's absolutely evil. The beautiful desires that have been planted inside you when you were really young, they have been twisted by just the world, advertising, everything. Whatever you look in TV, the media, everything. It doesn't say keep marriages or keep yourself pure. It says you need to have experience with other relationships, because when you find the one, you don't want to feel unexperienced and awkward. You need to have these experiences. But it's the opposite. It's the other way around. It's the other way around. Let me tell you why. Or give you an example. When I was 10 years old, as a boy, I wanted to get married then. I thought, flipping egg, I'm too old for this world. I need to get married. So as a little boy, I thought, well, I don't have a wife, right? So I'll pray for one. I started praying for my wife every night. I started praying for my wife. Say, Jesus, I know you have a wife for me. I'll pray that you would protect her, keep her pure, keep her for myself, and help me to keep myself for her. Pray these simple prayers, pray to God year after year after year after year. And then, you know, this one time you're growing in God, and I came to England, and the reason I came was just because I needed God. And this absolutely gorgeous looking girl comes along on the same course and keeps talking to me all the time, and I am praying to God, look, I know this, you know, I came here for you. I'm not looking for any relationships. This is a distraction, so please take it away, Lord. I can't deal with this. I'm just to receive from you. But the more I prayed, the worse it got. So then I figured, maybe it's God. So, you know, we began this relationship a miraculous way, and it just God like gave, like started this relationship. The story is long and amazing, there's no time for that at the moment, but the more I got to know her, the more I realized that God had answered every single prayer of mine. I was praying that she would be looking beautiful, the things that I wanted her to look like, the things about her character, the things that I found that I would like about her. She has everything. And believe me, if you ask her whether God kept her for me, then God kept her 100% for me. She has never had a boyfriend before. And we, you know, the world tells you need to have experience and have experience with someone before to have this awesome relationship. Let me tell you, it's the most beautiful way to figure it out between yourself, knowing nothing about anything. Believe me, our first kiss was just weird. Because we didn't know how to kiss. You were like, do you go like face? No, the nose is in the way. Do you like tilt your head or do you close your eyes? Or how do you do this? But believe me, we're professionals by now. It is so beautiful to figure these things out. It is just the joy and the, you know that when you kiss, every time you kiss her, you don't have another picture of someone else in your head. That is that person, and that's it. And, you know, there's still a lot of stuff that we haven't figured out yet. But, you know, there's the beauty of figuring out yourself. So I want to encourage you guys who are single, if you are desperate for someone in your life, just pray for one. Bible says, seek first the kingdom. And even if you're like the first part that I was reading in the Bible at first, that if you look at someone lustfully and you have these lustful desires in your heart, it's God has created these desires in your heart, but the devil wants you to apply them in a wrong way, in sin. But seek first the kingdom and what God has for you, and you're going to have the most amazing person in the world for your other half. Just please pray for the one. Tell everything about God that you want for the other person, and God will give you this. So keeping yourself pure is not for the person, but actually for Jesus. If you seek first the kingdom, that's the way to go. All right? Carl.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to the second point, and I'm going to finish off as well today. So I believe Jesus wants to really encounter you tonight. You know, maybe you have some baggage in your life. Maybe you had boyfriend and girlfriends before. The truth is, Jesus encountered many people with great, great past. But he also said, you know, the more that's been forgiven, the greater the love. You might remember that story of that woman who fell at the feet of Jesus and washed it with his tears and dried it with her hair. Apparently she was a prostitute. But seeing this sinless Jesus did something in his heart so deep, all of a sudden, instead of rebelling against the world and finding her meaning in what she was doing, she just wanted to be pure. She just wanted to have, that's what Jesus has. Because she'd never seen a man like Jesus. Because all the men that she'd been with would have been lustful, would have been taking advantage of her. And she had her views set for the world. So this is the world, it's tough, you know, brokenhearted. And then she encounters Jesus. I don't know how, it doesn't say, but she's so deeply moved. She looks into the eyes of this sinless man who never, ever, once lustfully had a thought. And as she looked into these eyes, she wanted to be pure. She wanted what he had. And her heart was broken. And she just knew what was happening. And he was forgiving her. And she had a new life. Listen, you can encounter Jesus in that way. That's the only way that you can keep pure. It's not by our own severe pious self-denial. Well, Paul says it actually very clearly. Why do you follow those commandments in the world that say don't touch, don't taste, don't handle, as if they have any power? They sound good because they need pious self-denial, and but they actually have no power when it comes to dealing with a person's evil desires. So to illustrate that, when I was young, about 11, I had my first encounter with internet pornography. I had some great Christian cousin friends who led me into it and showed me how to do it. Back then, there was only like one website we could find. And I remember the first time. And that led me on to a lifelong struggle, really, with addiction. And we realized, we had a Christian gang of friends, realized that we're all struggling with the same thing. And actually, it's quite a new thing in Europe. It's been around for the last 20 years, probably. Maybe more in the West, in Estonia, it's been around for 20 years because it was under communism for a long time. And back then, you wouldn't find any porn magazines in the kiosks and stuff. But it came around in the, you know, in the 2000s. Very, very everywhere now. And now it's very common pornography. And all of it, it's just all over the media. You know, MTV is just soft corn porn or something. It's just everywhere. Soft porn. And so we found ourselves addicted to it. And we were very zealous spiritual at the same time. So we thought, we'll take it on. We'll take porn on. You know, we started in the end to do like a website called Triple X Church. We copied someone in America who did it. And we really fought it. You know, we started talking about it. We went to schools, talked about pornography and how it affects people and how bad it is. And we had incredible illustrating points. And we show how it damages relationships and what it does to people, and how people have lost work because of it and lost their families, and it's horrible. And the only problem, we did really well, you know. We went to a lot of schools. We only had one problem. All of us were still addicted to porn. So we did that for a couple of years. And this is not working. You know, we got people coming to us to get help. I'm addicted to porn. So am I. Because there's no power in us against these things. Jesus said himself, when he prayed, actually, he taught us to pray, you know, lead us not into temptation. Why? Because there's a greater power than us. It's called temptation, lustful temptation. It's more powerful than us. And Jesus didn't pray and make them strong against temptation. No, he said, lead them not into temptation, which means save them from the moment. Because once you're in the moment, it's very little you can do. And Jesus, like we read from this scripture, was very radical when he came to lustful sin. He said, you know, in the Old Testament it said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, even if you lust, that is adultery. You've already done it in your heart. And then he says, listen, if that's the case, cut off your hand. If your hand causes you to sin, so that your whole body won't be thrown to hell. It's very radical and extreme. What is he saying? The truth is, adultery will destroy you. Bible, the early church is very clear about sexual sin. It's not something they pat on the back, say, oh yeah, bless you. Try and keep away from it. Say, no, escape from it. Paul says, flee from all sexual immorality. All other sins are outside the body, but him who's sins sexually, sins against his own body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit and belongs to God. He's so strong about it. Joseph ran away when the Pharaoh's wife was trying to tempt him, because he knew he had no power over it, so he just legged it. And that's true. That's true with us. That's why Jesus was so strong about it. You know, God is actually strong about it. There is incredible judgment for the adultery. I'm not saying it will make you go to hell, but there'll be a judgment for it. David was judged. David's life was judged afterwards. It didn't go on the same. He met Nathan the prophet soon, who exposed his sin. And because he did still have a heart for the Lord, he confessed it finally after massive rebellion. But his life had a judgment on it. I mean, he lost his throne, which wouldn't have happened, you see. No, it was a straight result of adultery. And then his son rebels against him. In the end, he loses his son. I mean, his life was never the same. He did change in the end, bless him. For it says when he was an old man, a young woman was put next to him to warm him up, and he never touched him. You know, he was sick of it then. Adultery had so deeply wounded David. But at the end of the life, he was just sick of it. You know, but it's a great warning for us. Paul says that those stories in the Old Testament are a great warning for us. Listen, Jesus says, cut off your hands so your whole body won't be thrown to hell. He's literally saying that adultery and lust, if you keep with it, can take you to hell. I mean, it might be in grace for a while. Sometimes we think that, you know, grace, it's all right. I'm lustful, but grace will be all right. It could be all right for a while, but it can destroy you. So it's very challenging. Jesus has put down some boundaries. In this church, I'll be honest with you, we as leaders really protect ourselves. We don't put ourselves in a situation when me males will end up alone with other females because I'm married. I'm not saying that, you know, I might do something. I don't know what I might do, but I'm just not going close. So I'm always planning around it. If I've got the option to be, well, I'll make an option. I always avoid being alone, working alone with somebody. Lowry actually works for me. I told him to dress up smart, you know. It's representing me. But then be wise. Jesus said, be wise about it. And also, the early church, if you read the letters that the apostles wrote, they were very, very strong about salvation and how they preached about it. They preached grace, yes. But grace was never a license to sin. It was the opposite. It was the opportunity not to sin. They always said, you know, guard your salvation. See, now that you've been saved, make sure that you live a holy life. It's a little bit like this. If you were a street kid and some famous English lord, rich man, took him into his manor and you're off the street with your filthy clothes, now he gives you rights as if you were his son and you live in his manor. And this is all by great mercy. Now you ought to learn to live this new life. You ought to learn how to change your speech, how to not talk dirty words anymore, how to dress with the clothes you've been given. But if that boy would just still think, because, you know, I've been throwing such blessings on me, you know, get a bit casual with it and just start being like he was, has no determination to try and change, it wouldn't be right, would it? I don't know if he'd get kicked out, but he wouldn't serve in the castle. He might be serving outside with the pigs. It's same with the Lord. You know, in Hebrews, the writer says, don't deceive yourselves. If you keep deliberately sinning while coming to the knowledge of the truth, you're trampling the Son of God under feet. You know, treating the blood that makes you clean lightly as if it was a common and unholy thing. They had great reverence for salvation. Because anyway, now that I've been forgiven, you know, I better respect Jesus. Respect the cross. And I'm not saying that this is that we need to be really strict with ourselves, but we need to be strict with repenting and coming to Jesus. This is the only way out. Coming to Jesus every time you sin. You maybe sin many times, maybe you have lustful thoughts often. Jesus can't save you, but you need to be real with him and come to him every time. Put your bar back up. Repent from things. If your phone causes you to sin, I only have an iPhone. Like Andy said this morning, he only keeps an iPhone because of the access that we can have to internet pornography. I don't know what it is for you, but there might be things that lead you to sin. Be wise about it. Cut it off. You know, we live in these times that are crazy. The world is waging war against God. Our culture is waging war against God. And revival is coming. But it means we actually have to keep ourselves for Jesus. Paul says the utensils will be used in the house that are pure. you know, the owner wouldn't go and get a dirty mark to give to the customers. No, I only think business, visitors. You know, he would take a pure one. Keep yourself pure for Jesus, like Lowry said. Not just for a husband or a wife, that as well. Keep yourself pure for Jesus. Honor the sacrifice he did for you. Honor the cross. I mean, Jesus never married. He could have married. But he never married because he was keeping himself pure for his pride, which is us, the church. They was absolutely in love with, more than Laura and Becca in love with each other. You know, Jesus absolutely loves you. And you can honor him by keeping yourself pure and coming to him. And let his love overflow you, your life. You know, that's the answer to what's walking away from lust. Coming to Jesus every time. And he will forgive you every time. You know, I'm not addicted to porn anymore. I'm free from it. But it's not through, you know, severe self-denial. No, it was through the grace of Jesus. I wasn't trying to follow the points that I had and try to convince myself not to do it. I just accepted I'm a sinner. I was real about it. I protected my internet at first of all. I confessed to my brothers. Every time I sin, I call someone. Not out of accountability. Not out of, I need to be accountable to someone. No, I'm accountable to God. But because I want to get healed, I call someone. And instantly rebellion leaves me when I do that. Before that, I'm rebellious because I've sinned. Rebellion hits me. But as I confess it out, rebellion leaves me. And I get grace. My brothers, they never condemn me. No, they bring me the grace. They bring me to Jesus. And my heart gets healed. I think, even now, Jesus, do you love me? You won't forsake me. Happens again. All right. I'll do it again. I'll come to Jesus. I'll tell someone. I'll get prayed for. That's the way out. You know, Jesus asked us to forgive others how many times a day? 7 times 77, which is like something 500 times a day. Do you think he's not able to do that himself? If he asked us to do it, no, he will forgive you every time, but he's not going to play around with you. He will ask you to sacrifice the things that lead you to sin. The women that he saved from stoning, he said, do not sin no more. He didn't say, oh, bless you. Try and keep it all right, will you? He said, no, go and sin no more because it will have you. But Jesus incredibly helps us. Why don't we stand up and pray? Thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Jesus, that you're here tonight. I thank you that you do not condemn us, Lord, but you bring us forward. We thank you, Jesus, for the light you bring upon us, Lord. I pray, Jesus, you would walk around this room right now and touch our hearts, Lord, and challenge us. Listen, we do want to give you an opportunity tonight to come to Jesus. Maybe some of you have had a past and you just feel dirty. Well, why don't you come to Jesus like that woman did? Even if you're a guy, it's come to Jesus the same way. Come to him and receive his purity. Receive his purity and forget your past. If you need heart healing from all the sin, come to him. And why don't you come on the left-hand side for that? If you want to get rid of shame, if you want to get rid of your shameful past, on the right-hand side, why don't we do repentance? If you literally need to cut something off, a relationship, a device, if you literally need to stop doing something and you want to be real with Jesus, or if you need to walk in the light and confess, why don't you come and stand here on the right side and let Jesus encounter you? Listen, God is coming. God is working. We're not running these Sunday meetings for no reason. We're preparing ourselves for what Jesus has for us. Why don't you come and get yourself ready for Jesus? So come now. Don't waste any time.
I want to say this about, I feel the Holy Spirit is speaking. And there's one more thing is maybe you've had some bad experiences and you feel like you've been the victim of being in bad relationships. You feel hurt and broken. Listen, God loves you and God can make you clean and brand new. He didn't just die for your sin. He died to give you everything new, a new life. That includes your relationship, your emotions, your virginity. You can get it back. So if that is you, why don't you come in front as well? Get healed. Jesus absolutely wants to heal you. The Holy Spirit is here. He wants to minister to you and right those wrongs. And like I was saying, for the young people as well, if you feel like the Holy Spirit is calling you to keep pure, if you want to be pure for Jesus, why don't you come in front as well and say, look, Jesus, I want to be pure for you. I want to be one day in a relationship where I enjoy it to the max and be clean. Come you as well. Why don't you dedicate from this moment to yourself, not to yourself, dedicate yourself to God.